Along with the other students, you make your way down the trail to your cabin. It's dark now. The breeze off the mountains has turned chilly. Upon reaching the cabin, you pick up two logs, carry them inside, and place them on the hearth. You light a kerosene lamp, then put some newspapers and kindling in the fireplace, set the logs on top. You light the fire, settle back on the couch, and watch it ignite. The fireplace draws well, and within minutes the chilly cabin is warm, the warmth reflected on your skin. You remove the gray robe and lie naked in front of the fire, remembering warm times. In the days that follow, you experience the same daily routine. Up at 4:30 a.m., meditation in the Zendo. Breakfast, Zanzen with Brother Joshua. Communal duties such as work in the garden, cleaning, washing dishes, or chopping vegetables in the kitchen. Each afternoon, there is a walking meditation. In the evenings following dinner, the students all meet in the Zendo for a Dharma talk and sitting meditation. Although the message varies, it always comes back to the same basic ideas about how to end suffering and attain peace of mind. While on a walking meditation, you attempt to simplify it in your own mind. First, you must accept self-responsibility. That's what karma is all about. Second, let go of your attachment to your thoughts, fears, emotions. Third, accept what is. Change what you can and stop resisting things you cannot change, especially other people who can only change themselves. Sure, there's more to it, but basically that's it. Easy to say, hard to do. Of course. Who said attaining enlightenment was easy? But at least you know where to start and what needs to be done. It's a beginning, as Brother Joshua said. On the evening of your last day at the Gateless Gate, you take off your shoes, bow to the Buddha, enter the Zendo for your last Dharma talk. You inhale the incense, desiring to mentally capture the scent so you can draw upon it when you get back home. Then you catch yourself, recognize your attachment to the ashram, and simply observe yourself doing what you do. Sitting upon your meditation pillow, you smile at the thoughts, realizing how far you've come in a week. Shutting your eyes, you straighten your spine and wait for the others to get settled. Brother Joshua begins, saying, "Challenge can be spiritual when properly channeled. Your mind needs challenge, while at the same time you need to let go of your attachment to the challenge. Is that a paradox?" Everyone nods. Brother Joshua continues, "You need challenge, and you need to be responsible to the challenge without being attached to the success or failure of your goal. Maybe the alcohol and drug problems of so many otherwise responsible people are related to the ease of our lives. Maybe people have affairs and otherwise complicate their lives because life is too easy. Your mind can't take an unchallenging life. It can't take a mundane existence without doing something to make life more interesting, such as fighting with your mate, or family, or friends, or co-workers, or maybe generating an accident, or getting sick. When life is easy, your mind can be very creative at generating challenges. You decide you can drink or do dope and still be responsible to your life, or you can balance an affair without endangering your primary relationship. Maybe you think, I can get away with these vices without them consuming me. Others can't, but I can. I can meet the challenge. Brother Joshua scans the group and says, if what I'm saying relates to you, it's time to generate more positive challenge in your life. You need some worthwhile goals, ideally goals that, when accomplished, will bring you greater peace. Following the break, everyone gathers once more for what Brother Joshua says will be a question and answer session. A long-haired young man raises his hand. Modern psychology talks about the need to express your feelings, but my parents stressed the need for me to repress my feelings. Where does that leave me? Isn't there another alternative? Brother Joshua asks. The young man shrugs in response. Brother Joshua stuffs his hands into the pockets of his robe and says, I've been talking to you all week about becoming an observer of your thoughts and feelings. What about recognizing your feelings, acknowledging them, then detaching from them without needing to express them? Then, just get on with your life. The long hair considers it and nods. Brother Joshua continues, if you think about it, that's what you usually do. Who wants to express every thought and feeling that pops into their mind? Who would be willing to be subjected to such boring internal dialogue? When the question and answers are completed, Brother Joshua says, I now want each of you to meditate upon the awareness you've attained at the Gateless Gate and how you can best apply it to your own life. Now straighten your spine, deepen your breathing, and center yourself. How will this awareness serve you when you return home? If you were going to be with me longer, I would have you meditate upon Zen riddles, koans, Brother Joshua says. But since our week is nearly over, I'd like to end by telling you about one. A man kept a goose in a bottle, feeding it until it grew too large to get through the bottleneck. Now how can he get the goose out of the bottle without killing it or destroying the bottle? The cone offers a choice between two alternatives, both of which are equally impossible. The purpose of the cone is to reflect the dilemma of life, the problem of passing beyond the two alternatives of assertion and denial, both of which obscure the truth. The real problem is not to get the goose out of the bottle, but rather to get ourselves out of it. The goose represents man, and the bottle his circumstances. Our bottleneck is our conditioned way of seeing things. We see situations and problems as alien objects standing in our way, rather than as an extension of our own consciousness. We are conditioned to believe that our mind is inside us and that our perceptions of the world are outside. In reality, our mind is outside and all that we perceive is within our mind. Or, to put it another way, the goose is out. Brother Joshua smiles, raises his hands in the Namaste salute, scans the semicircle of students, meeting each one's eyes. Then he bows and says, "It's time for each of you to wake up, go in peace, and do your best."